Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the C3 SYD podcast. I'm your host Jackson, and today we have a very special guest with us, the one and only Andy Byers.
Hey friends.
We are unpacking the current topic that we're talking about in all of our locations at church, unfinished business. What that is, it's the finished work of the cross outlived and what that means to us in our lives. So let's jump in. So, Andy, we do this with everyone that's new to the podcast, and seeing as this is your first time on there, I'd love to ask you a little question. What does a day in the life of Andy Byers look like?
My children wake me up. I've got three children. They wake me up before I wake up.
Nice. Or want to.
Or want to wake up. They will come in and beg for cereal, and then one of us will eventually get up, me or my wife. I will wake up and make a coffee first thing.
Nice.
Then I'll go sit out on my deck, drink my coffee, talk to the Lord, and look at my garden and see how it's growing.
Nice.
Go to work, come home, look after the children.
Occasional soccer training. He's also a soccer coach.
Go to sleep. Rinse, repeat.
Yes. I love the dad life of that. And it's what we want to talk about today is like peace in our relationships and in our circumstances, because we're in constant conflict, whether it's a war that's happening or if there's interpersonal problems that are happening, you know, family things kind of come up. How do you see peace and what does that look like in your life?
Peace is an ethereal question.
Yeah.
But I think it's something that for me personally, I've chosen I need to go after. And if I need to fight for. The world is certainly never going to allow you the perfect circumstance. You're not going to wake up and it's Eden outside.
Yeah.
You have to, one, have strong boundaries. You need to create your own environment. Mm. You need to be firm with what gives you life and what you allow into your family, what you allow into your world, what you allow into your headspace. When you go to bed at night, allowing things to be able to come to sleep with your mind with you.
Yeah.
Choosing those choices.
Yeah.
But for me and my family, we've learned very strongly and firmly how to curate our own world. And with that, it comes down to, at the end of the day, a choice.
Yeah, big time. Well, we wish peace was here and we wish that peace was what we lived in, but it's what you're saying is something we actually have to choose. And in that, I love what you said, you create boundaries, which is a really big one, because I think, you know, when we enter into conflict, it's usually because boundaries were crossed or boundaries were not set, or something's happened interpersonally or in a relationship. How do you hold honesty and kindness in at the same time when the peace is broken?
Well, I mean, if you've been around for 5 seconds, you will see that fractured relationships are a reality everywhere you go, whether that's family, friends, work, whatever that looks like. Even with you were talking topics of church, like there's a great old saying that church would be perfect if it wasn't for all the people. Being a pastor would be a lot easier if it wasn't with all the people.
Yes.
Their fun realities. But look, I think a higher standard, like something that doesn't give a lot of rooms, Colossians 3, it says, like, bear with each other and forgive one another. Any grievance that you might have against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you.
Yeah.
I think perspective is helpful in that regard.
Yeah.
Because if I was to think about the longevity of my life, the ups and downs, the relationships I've had, the tough times, at the end of the day, when I compare it to my relationship with God, what my Heavenly Father has accepted me, given me the peace, the freedom, the reality of the outworkings of that in my life, I can't hold that too tightly against someone else. It's calling you to a high standard. Forgive others who have gone against you, but if I think about what the Lord has done to me, hot dang, like it doesn't really compare.
It's a high standard, but it gives you access to that higher standard, right? Because it's, you have been forgiven. Like every like little mistake, but every big mistake you have been forgiven for. So the way that God sees you, is that you are forgiven. So therefore you then can go and forgive others.
It's the grace and truth side of things. Grace is, look, if you've believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you invite him into your heart. Bible Galatians 2 says you're a new creation. The old is gone, new has come. The old, that pain, the old frustration, the old hurt that you carried, that actually doesn't have to be a part of you. You actually can make that choose a decision to be released from that and step into your new day. However, the truth side of it is the Lord holds us to a higher accountability.
When we have offense, or like people are going to be people. People are messy. Stuff happens. If we're going to hold conflict as our standard of right and wrong, it's not going to help relationally. But also it doesn't help us with our relationship with God either, right? Like it kind of can form a wedge, can form a blockage. What's something that's happened in your life where you have had to, you've had conflict, or you've had interpersonal differences where the goal was peace, but you had to use forgiveness as that vehicle to get there?
Yeah, I think I grew up with my mum and my sister, and our house definitely wasn't one that I would use. Peace wasn't a word that I would use in our house. There was a lot of conflict, mostly between my mum and my sister. I kind of tried to stay away, and I kind of hid to myself. But anyway, I met the Lord when I was 17 years old, and it was quite a wild time in my family. I would say tensions were an absolute high, and I had the tension of whether do I stick in this world, do I remove myself from it. You know, Bible says you're a city on a hill. You're not supposed to hide your light, but at the same time I wasn't sure how to go about that. I remember one night my mum and my sister were just absolutely blowing up at each other, and I was so frustrated. I was so over the situation. And I remember going down and having a conversation with my sister, and I felt the Lord lead me to this scripture where it, in Isaiah, it talks about Jesus going to the cross, is what it's going to look like, what he's going to suffer, what's going to happen to him, all the terrible torments and all that jazz. And there's this amazing scripture. It says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. And I articulated that to my sister, and it was like the first time in our relationship, it's like something settled. And it's like the penny dropped. And we just had the conversation of, look, you having to have the last word, or us fighting to be top dog, or us having to be the one walking away as a winner is not getting us anywhere. There's a lack of peace. There's a lack of momentum in this relationship, in our family, and it's fractured because of it. And I talked about how Jesus knew what he was going into. He knew what he was going to suffer. And if anyone could have said anything, the most innocent blood that has ever been spilt, he says he was oppressed, he was afflicted, but he didn't open his mouth. He didn't fight back because he knew what he was doing.
Well, he even said, Father, forgive them. They do not know. Like, how isn't that a difference between how we'd normally respond? We enter in conflict and we normally want to bark back, right? To as you're saying, just to say silent, but even just to take that next step of, like, God, I forgive them in this. And that obviously transformed and changed something in you, but in your family.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we just went on that journey of, you know, unforgiveness. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in my family's life deeply, and those around me. But, you know, there's that great old saying, unforgiveness is like you drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die. unforgiveness is what it is, our ultimate sickness.
Yeah.
You know, it's pride that stirs up our heart, that refuses us to be able to move forward. But I mean, even chemically, physically, it's proven, like, stress, unforgiveness, pain, that's what causes cancer. That's what causes heart attacks. That's what causes high blood pressure. All of these things to be able to hold on to, that allows us from even just not going from a spiritual perspective, but practical sleep.
Yeah.
Like the number one, the before exercise, before what you eat, the number one most important thing for your body is sleep. And I'll tell you what, you are rolling around the covers and not getting those eight hours, 10 hours, that rest when you're just thinking, oh, I should have said that. But if they say that, I'm going to say this.
Yeah, there's
and then I'm going to have that rebuttal ready rumination. To go, or I should have done this.
Yeah. It's a big thing, particularly now where we've got, like, you know, rage culture or lots of things that are happening online, and we're trying to win. But I guess taking that higher road or a different perspective is to, like, try something different rather than attack. How about forgive? And, like, that's so easy on paper, but that could be a road to peace rather than a road to, like, overthrow, take on, win. I guess, like, in other areas of peace in your life, what has been, like, in, say, a situation or circumstance that you've come across, how have you gone about seeking peace, and how have you been able to hold on to it?
Sure. I guess an overview, and even touching base on what you just described, like, Jesus calls us to live a life that is higher than that we could ever naturally do.
Yeah.
And without His Holy Spirit, and what I mean by that is without a relationship, like an actional, real two-way street, I'm going to seek Him, I'm going to hear to Him, I'm going to listen to Him, relationship, everything we're talking about is impossible. And situation I remember a few years ago that rubber really hit the road for my family and me. We were having our third child, second girl, Bloom. We had a miscarriage between our two girls.
Oh, man.
And we had the 20-week scan, and the doctor said it was just a bad diagnosis. Things weren't looking good. Her brain development wasn't growing with her body, and they essentially said, look, this is really bad. And, you know, I won't go into all the details, but you can, you know, brain development, you can connect two and two together. So they said, look, I'm so sorry, we're going to need you to see this specialist.
Yeah.
So go downstairs and book in with a specialist, and they'll be able to tell you specifics. And so we went downstairs, booked in, said, this is what we've just been told, we need to see a specialist. They said, fantastic, the next opening is in 10 weeks time.
That's the way, isn't it?
So
how do you sit in that for 10 weeks?
Our wonderful systems.
But
for 10 weeks we were just left with this
diagnosis, this feeling, this,
and every second of the day, my mind was consumed with it.
Far out.
Every night when I would close my eyes, every morning when I'd wake up, the first thing. And that really became a battle for me. And the only way I know how to fight a battle like that is by prayer and faith. And so I actually had to wrestle with that, but I also had to give it to God. But the most amazing thing about having a real, open, tangible relationship with the Lord, He says, you have authority. So what that turned into, and the way I fought this, and when I say fought, I mean I fought for peace. I fought for that, oh no, I'm going to sit in this and it's going to be okay, is I started speaking it out. I started fighting against that diagnosis. And what that looked like was, Jesus, we're going to walk into this doctor's appointment in 10 weeks' time, and the nurse is going to be upset with us. She's going to be annoyed that we are here. The doctor is going to be frustrated, saying, why are you even here? There is nothing wrong with your child.
Yeah, wow.
And I just spoke against that.
Yeah.
Every week, every day. He says, I've given you authority to trample over scorpions and snakes and overcome all the power of the enemy, all the power of this diagnosis, all the power that's not aligning with your peace. He says, nothing shall harm you. And so we started really just getting into that zone. And anyway, it was terrible. Yeah. It was horrible. I bet. 10 weeks of just, you could pray for hours on hours on end if you want, and you would finally get that, like, no, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then you'd close your eyes at night and straight away you'd be back at square one. But are you really going to be okay?
Yeah.
That voice is going to come back. Are you sure that's going to happen?
Yeah.
Are you sure it's going to be okay? Anyway, praise God.
Yeah.
We did the wrestle. We did the 10 weeks waiting. And it's so amazing to say we walked into that room and everything we prophesied, spoke into being, said would happen.
Amazing.
The nurse was really pissy with us and was like, what are you doing here? Wow. Don't you know that it's so hard to get this kind of appointment and you're wasting our time?
No way.
The doctor said, I don't know what to tell you, but there is nothing wrong with your child. It is... Everything is as it should be.
Yeah,
the growth is as it should be, completely clocked.
Yeah.
And that was a real journey for us, but
we
certainly learned in the wrestle what it looks like to die to yourself.
Yeah.
Because we are in situations daily that are beyond our control. As you said, the world is in situations right now that is so far beyond our control. But if we can let ourselves wrestle that with what it looks like for me, for my family, for my relationship with God, and then really how am I going to carry myself as I bring that peace to others around me, to what I let to come into my world, but then what I'm going to give out of that world.
Wow.
That's the wrestle.
Huge, man. That 10 weeks and just to journey through something like that, like, that is so beyond your control. I think what I'm picking up from what you're putting down, there is a laying down that you have to do in all of this, whether it's, you know, not saying or fighting back, right? In those interpersonal moments, or it's like laying down and letting God do what he needs to do, but still not being passive. In the whole thing, there's an active work that we're doing. And in both, in one situation, it's forgiving. In another one, it's leaning into prayer. So, man, it's been so insightful, this conversation. This whole series is unbelievable because we're starting to see, hey, look, like, Jesus died, laid down for those transgressions, those things, those unforgiveness of ourselves. But he also laid down for those things that where there's other areas of lack of peace comes into our lives. So, man, it's been an amazing conversation. We have to wrap this one up. But guys, if that has spoken to you in any kind of way, if there's sparked any curiosity, or maybe you've just felt that, maybe you just want that peace, I want to encourage you, come along to one of our services. We got 4 locations right across Sydney. Head to C3SYD to find the one near you. And we can't wait to join you on this journey in unpacking the unfinished business with you. Catch you soon.